Oh, I do, Drew. Thank you for the segue. The FSMA is maybe an underutilized federal whistleblower statute. The law was passed in 2011 under the Obama administration, and the covered entity list is super broad, y'all. So this may be a preview on some of the litigation we see in the coming years. Who's covered? Food manufacturers, distributors, food packers, food transporters, restaurants, grocery stores, and food testing laboratories, among other kinds of entities. So, you know, you can already hear the COVID-19 tie-in potentially to this whistleblower statute. It has a kick-out provision, which means that you can take the case to federal court. It has contributing factor causation, which we'll talk about later, the every plaintiff's dream. It has a duty speech is carved out. There's no duty speech exception to this, since the act protects disclosures in the ordinary course of employees' duties. And I'll leave you with this to think about. It covers violations of course, food safety regulations. Food safety FDA regulations require excluding sick workers and require workplaces to keep food-related workplaces safe and clean. 21 CFR 110.10 and other similar regulations. So imagine that, you know, what's happening out there in the real world in food packing, food manufacture, grocery stores, et cetera. And remember, the standard here is not actual violation of the law or a regulation. It's plaintiff's reasonable belief standard. So we'll see if this becomes a major issue nationwide, but I want to flag this for practitioners on both sides of the docket as an important statute potentially moving forward.
And we also wanted to flag the newest whistleblower protection statute, the Taxpayer First Act. This was signed into law in July 2019, and it prohibits any sort of employer retaliation against an employee reporting tax fraud. And similar to the statute we just looked at, there's a 180-day limitations period to file. There's the contributing factor causation standard. But I want to note that the remedies include double back pay in addition to things like reinstatement, uncapped compensatories, and attorney's fees. So now we're going to focus particularly on the NDAA. Austin, you want to take this?
Sure do. And I just want to take a moment to let double back pay soak in and wash over us on the plaintiff's side like warm seawater. We can't leave the house, but that really is the closest thing that plaintiffs might have to a good sensation. Anyway, I'm kidding, of course, but it is helpful for a remedy to have. So I want to talk about this National Defense Authorization Act, what we're calling the NDAA, as another significant whistleblower statute for plaintiffs. The elements and the covered folks are contractors and subcontractors of the federal government. And the protected activity is when plaintiff reports a violation of law, rule, or regulation related to a federal contract to a management official, to an employee who has the responsibility to investigate, discover, or address misconduct. And then, of course, adverse action and causation. So simply, protected disclosure, the employer knew or reasonably was on notice, adverse action, and causation. Think about that broad coverage. Employees of all government contractors, right? And even subcontractors. There's a carve out for the intelligence community, just so you've heard it, but it does include employees of DOD and NASA under a different provision of the statute. That's a super broad list of folks, even in Texas, where there's not as much, you know, federal action as, say, DC, right? So really a broad statute. And what about the protected activity, right? How broad is that scope? Well, disclosures of waste, fraud, and abuse in federal government contracts and grants. And again, we're using this reasonable belief standard. The employee reasonably believed that the conduct that they reported was a gross mismanagement of federal contract or grant, gross waste of federal funds, abuse of authority, or, and maybe this is again for plaintiffs and for defense, the thing to watch out for, a violation of a law, rule, regulation related to the federal contract or grant, or a substantial specific danger to public health or safety. Think about the breadth, though, of a violation of a law, rule, regulation related to a federal contract or grant. We're going to get into what some courts and some ALJs have said about that. The disclosure can be made to management or an employee of a contractor with the responsibility to investigate. So who is that? Say it with me. probably a supervisor, right? So it's a complaint to a supervisor about something that has gone wrong. Burden of proof here, again, the contributing factor burden of proof. And what have administrative agencies and courts said about that? Well, they're referring back to that Whistleblower Protection Act that Drew mentioned earlier and saying it's a super low burden for plaintiffs. Knowledge and close timing can suffice to meet plaintiff's burden under the contributing factor standard, assuming the decision maker, you can prove this, the knowledge of the decision maker.